Hey friends, I'm Naomi, and I'm glad to have you here listening to A Creative Purpose. This space is here to encourage and support creatives bring their ideas to life. I believe we each have our own brilliance to share with the world, and when we lean into that, we have opportunities to live an adventurous life. I have some great conversations with other creatives where they share their journey and the lessons learned along the way. I'll also share my story and what I've learned and am learning on this beautiful, sometimes difficult road to living a life I love. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of A Creative Purpose. I'm excited to have Donette here with me, and I'm excited to see where this conversation goes with kind of creativity, finances, life, and all the things along the way. So thanks for joining me here, Donette.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Would you mind introducing yourself to the audience and just kind of where you're at, what you do?
Yeah. So my name is Donette Palmer, like you said, and I am the founder and owner of Your Money on Purpose Coaching. I'm a money coach, so not a financial advisor. I help you with your behavior with money, and your financial advisor helps you with your money's behavior.
That's a good distinction, because I always wonder, like, when you're going to talk to people about money, like, what is the difference? And so our behavior with money, and I'm coming from a creative standpoint, and so sometimes money is kind of that weird abstract thing, right?
Yeah.
And so like, in your work that you do with people and the behaviors, what do you see a lot that comes up for people in maybe not being where they want financially, or how they're spending their money? I don't know. What kind of comes up with the work you do?
Yeah. So a lot of it stems from our childhoods, because, you know, that's where we've learned everything. And so the habits and behaviors we learned either from our parents or whoever was raising us, what we saw or what we didn't see, what we are told or what we weren't told, is what we carry on with us. And until we can realize that and become aware of that, we can't fix it, right? Just like with anything. So most of my clients are in that, you know, they don't know why they're doing this. Help me, what am I, you know, why am I doing it? But then when we take a look and say, well, you know, what did you learn about money growing up? And they're like, oh, well, my parents fought, or my mom was a saver, or she hid things, and so I hide things. And it just comes in, and then they don't know why they're hiding things. They're like, this is my money, I should be able to spend it. And they're feeling guilty about that. So that's what I see a lot of.
Yeah. So a lot of guilt. Does shame come with that then?
Oh, absolutely. Shame. I have women clients who have, you know, college degrees, and they're like, I feel like an idiot. I'm so embarrassed. And really, we just do what we know till we know something better.
Yeah. And I find that interesting, because, like, throughout the years, I've taken a lot of financial classes and always tried to do better with my money. But I always, not always, I still seem to struggle with maybe investing in different things, or prioritizing, like, where my money goes, because it is right now, like, it's limited what I have coming in. Always trying to build up more of what is coming in, but there's only so many dollars you get during a month that then has to be distributed to all your, you know, given things, as well as your kind of wants and stuff. So how do you help people kind of start to see money differently and try to take more control of that arena?
Yeah. So I think, like I said, the number one thing is becoming aware of what we're doing. You know, looking at the spending. So going through the bank statements or the credit card statements, and really just looking at it with no judgment. Like, don't judge it. I'm not judging it. Just, where is it going? What's happening to it? So that's our first step. And then talking about, what is it that they're trying to accomplish? What do they want to do with their money? What are things they want to do in their life? Who do they want to become? All these questions, and then setting up a plan to do those things. And really, it's about being intentional every single day, right? Because we have, you know, sometimes we do the things maybe we didn't plan to do. But we'll just say, okay, well, what am I going to do? Like, it's done. If we keep feeling guilt and shame over it, we're not going to ever be, we're just going to keep moving forward with that feeling. And every time we spend, we're going to have guilt and shame. So really just getting rid of that, but, you know, holding them accountable to what they said they wanted to do. And also having the freedom to know that maybe your goals change, okay, to change your spending accordingly.
I've experienced that throughout different seasons of my life. It's like, you know, because you're told you have to do it this way or that way, or maybe louder voices are saying it. Yeah, you have to have this and that. And I get that to some point, but like one size doesn't always fit all. And so I think that's why it's great to have like a money coach come in and you guys look at it on a one-on-one basis and kind of map it out that way. So I think that's why it would be helpful for anybody.
Yeah. Again, looking at it so that you know what's going on, and then taking control of it, because that's what the next step is. Like, you are in control. And I talk to people so much, like, they're like, I had to. And I was like, no, change the language. You chose to. It's a choice. You don't have to anything. You don't have to make your house payment. You don't have to do this. You don't, you choose to do it because you want to have a house to live in, you know, because you want the lights to stay on, but it's a choice. It's still a choice no matter what we do. And if we don't use that language, then we give all our power away.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you get into this? Like, your money on purpose, even the name has purpose in it. So, which I love, because I'm all about living on purpose. And so how did you get to this point of wanting to work with people and their finances?
Yeah. So making a lot of my own mistakes, being a small business owner myself, we've been small business owners for over 22 years. One day just getting tired of it, you know, because that same way, like the money comes in, the bills get paid. We spend all the money that comes in. We don't really know where it's going after the bills are getting paid. And then, you know, it's, there's this tension when it's like, oh, can we go do this or can we do that? It's like, well, how are we going to afford to do it? Because we spent all our money. And one day I just got tired of it. And yeah. I finally said, I've had enough. What can I do to change this? I found some systems and processes that helped me make it doable, because it could be very overwhelming. But also that, so it aligned with my goals and values. So I didn't cut things out that were important to me.
Yeah.
I was still able to get out of the debt, save for my future, and do the things that are important to me.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes that's the message out there. Like, you just got to cut out all the fun and cut out all the, what we think is extra. But then I'm just like, well, we still got to live life and enjoy it. Like, I feel like there might be different seasons where it is more tight and you, because you have that goal in place. But for the most part, if you want to do this long term and for the long haul, you have to like try to find that happy balance, I would think, and yes, budget absolutely. For it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's right. Seasons change and you change with it. So I always say your spending plan's not written in stone. Like, you can change it.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal, but you can continue to align it with what's important to you. Because as you said, our seasons change, our values change, our goals change. And that's okay. I think that's something we need to give ourselves permission to do.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of my clients that I'm working with, they're working their kind of 9 to 5 and they want to move into some more.
And realign it with what you want to do. Sometimes, like you said, it's going to be a little tight and we just have to make adjustments. But I always say, make sure that you have something you enjoy there. Even if it's like your $5 coffee or whatever it is you enjoy, make sure that that's in there so that you can step back from all the hard work you've put in to enjoy what you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. But I think when you have your goals in place and you're like, okay, what do I have to do to not work at my 9 to 5? How much do I have to bring in? What does that look like? How much do I need to save up so that I can take this leap without fear? Mm-hmm. And really looking and focusing on that. And sometimes, you know, maybe you got to work a little extra hours. Maybe you have to sell something. Maybe you have to take on another job, whatever it is to build that dream. It's only for a season.
Right. And I think that's what I want to share with people too. Like, I don't share it a lot because like I can see shame around it myself, but as I'm like walking through it, I'm like, no, that was a really smart move. Like moving to Bangkok where cost of living is lower. Like I really wanted to get back to California or Colorado. Well, expenses are high. So how can I build my dream when I'm just trying to stay afloat? And so it's like, I had to get creative with moving to where I could have more of the income to build out where I'm going and get out of debt that I didn't think I was going to get back in, you know? And yeah. So sometimes it does take creative, I don't know, do we say courage to take those steps? Because that's not always what's popular in society, or you can feel like I should be doing this at this age, but I'm not there, you know, because life happens.
Yeah.
And so, like working with money things and like even releasing that embarrassment and shame, do you have any like tools or tips or tricks to help people kind of release that? Yeah, we want to be intentional with our money, but then it's also like, how do we, I mean, is that it? Or is there other steps that we can take to release more of that?
Well, it's setting the plan up, right? So that you can see what it is you're working towards, doing your why, being a creative. You want to have a vision board, right? Put those mm-hmm. things up, cut them out, draw them, paint them. However you do it, collage them, decoupage, whatever.
Yeah.
And put it up in front of you where you can look at it every day. Because I think we have this habit of, oh, we'll do a vision board. We'll write our goals, put them down. We put them away and we don't look at them again. And we're wondering why we're not achieving them.
Mm-hmm.
But really having that in front of us so we know what we are working for and creating a plan to get there. What do I have to do to get there? And mm-hmm. writing those steps out. And then, okay, maybe they're like really giant things, but what are the little things I can do to move towards that every day or every month? And just breaking it down.
And just forgiving ourselves, I guess, for however we got to where we are. Absolutely. Like, knowing that we're doing the best we could at each thing, each step of the way, I guess.
We're doing what we know until we know something better.
Yeah.
And that's just what we do as humans.
mm-hmm. Yeah. So part of that work, is it looking back to the childhood and mapping out those stories and then how you want to change that story, or what does that mindset shift look like?
Yeah. So I think just looking back at the childhood is more of bringing awareness of why we're doing what we're doing today. Like, for me, I moved a lot and I didn't have a lot. I was living with relatives. I didn't get everything. Yes, I had clothes on my back. Yes, I ate. But when I was spending all my money, I was spending all my money on my kids, like whatever they wanted to do, we did. I wanted them to have experience and have things and not be told they couldn't afford. But I was doing that to their detriment and my own. But once I said, oh, that's why I did it. Like, oh, okay. Well, I can change it though, because I can still give them even more than I had by giving them life skills.
Yeah.
And showing them how to use their money to, you know, we have our three categories, right? Give, save, spend, what that looks like, how to plan for what they're getting. And that's really like, what you have to do, just like, okay, it's not about shame, right? We're not looking back to shame ourselves. We're just like, oh, okay, that happened. Now this is why I do it. Now, what do I want to do to change it? Or how can I change it? Because I have these other goals I want to hit. Because right there, right, in the awareness and really just even changing, I was talking with a client today, changing your language. She's like, I spent all my money. I'm broke. I'm useless. And I was like, no, you need to change that language. You're not useless. You're learning a new habit and it's a new muscle. It is not comfortable to work out in the beginning. I mean, we're lifting what, 3 pounds, 5 pounds, right?
Yeah.
But we work up because we're consistently lifting that. So now we can do 40 pounds, 50 pounds. So we have to work that muscle.
So as you started to change these things and become more aware, how did that change even in your family and other things in your life? Was there like a ripple effect that happened?
Oh, yes. So I did a couple of things. My kids, I told them, okay, when we go out to eat, I'm paying for the food, but I'm not going to buy the drinks. So you get to choose whether you want to spend the $3-4 on a drink. And, you know, they were fairly young, so that was almost half their commission that they were making. And they chose, they drank water because that wasn't valuable to them if they had to pay for it. Same thing with their school clothes. I said, here is an envelope of money. This is all you're getting. Make sure you get your, you know, undergarments, your socks, your this. And they're like, $30 for a pair of pants? I don't think so. So they shopped differently. It was just by handing them the money and giving them the choice. It really changed the way that they looked at money, that it gave money value. Because before they just threw everything in the cart, they could care less what they weren't paying the bill. That was my fault because I wasn't making them aware of that. I was just like, oh, what do you want? Throw it in the cart, you know? So just really shifting those things and having them save their money or make a plan with their money. Also shifting from allowance to commission. So I shifted because I wanted them to know that money came from working. It wasn't something that just is handed to us. We have to work for it. And if you don't show up to work, you don't get paid. So you don't do the chore, you don't get paid. Simple as that. Or, you know, if they only want to make $5 that week, then they know what they have to do to make $5.
Yeah, that's good. And that's a good reminder, like for people that are building out their dreams and stuff, like we have to put in the work to get the reward. But then how do you help people, right? Because we know like sometimes there's seasons of just planting seeds. We're not seeing the return on our investment yet. And sometimes, you know, even in the stock market or investments, you know, it goes up and down. So how, like that intentional living, but how do we keep going when it gets hard? You know, you have your vision, you're looking at it every day, but you're just like, will I ever reach that mountaintop? Will I ever see this debt gone? Will I ever see me replacing my income with the work I want to do? How do you encourage your clients and those that you work with to keep going day after day?
Yeah, that can be hard. One is, you know, giving yourself grace, forgiveness, making sure you're taking a break, making like, you know, maybe you just need to go get away from it for a minute, walk away from it, or make sure you have money dates with yourself and your money and continue. I know it's like, know your why, make sure you have a strong, passionate why, because it does get hard. It does suck sometimes. But when we know why we're doing something, we're going to be able to endure it a little bit more. But during that time, make sure you put some fun in there. And maybe you need to think about, maybe I need to break the goals down a little bit smaller. Maybe I need the steps to be, you know, as long, if we have to, you know, crawl or drag ourselves, that's okay. Just don't stop moving. Don't stop moving forward. Even if it's these minute little tiny steps that you're making, sometimes that's just where we're at in life.
Yeah. Well, and life happens too, right? Usually you're on a course and you're like, yep, okay, I have my vision. I have everything planned out. This is what I'm going to do. And then something comes up or that didn't pan out the way I thought it would. And so
that's just part of learning through life, right? And I think maybe going back and saying, okay, well, maybe I need to reassess my why. Is this still my why? And being okay with that.
Yeah. And what that picture looks like, it could look different than when you first set out to build a business. I know that's shifted for me. You know, I thought, oh, I want to completely get out of my day job. Now I don't, you know, because I like the social interactions. Like I found like I can only do this work part-time, this solo kind of entrepreneurship thing. So, and I think that's okay too, because entrepreneurship has gotten a hype. It's kind of a hot thing right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome that people are wanting to forge a new path for themselves. But I also feel like it's going to, you know, it's kind of going up, but it might be coming down. just because people see how hard it is and the consistency that you need to keep going after it. And having a day job to support that dream is okay as well. You know, it might take longer than we expected or whatever. And I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think we have to not compare ourselves to other people because we each have our own journey. We each have our own lessons we need to learn along the way. And we can't look left or right. We just need to stay focused on what it is we're trying to do and just move towards that. Not worry about this person or that person, or that you need to keep up with them, or it's you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that. And you have to, you know, work, you know, 200 hours a week and never sleep. No, that's, hey, some people do it and that's fine, but that's not for everybody, right?
Right.
You have to know what it is, what's right for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And just thinking about like creatives, right? We always want the inspiration to hit. And so that's why I guess I keep coming back to like, what do we do when the inspiration isn't there? Or maybe our why is changing and navigating those seasons. Cause sometimes those seasons are quick, right? We're like, nope, new vision, moving forward. And sometimes they can be months long. And so sitting in that transition kind of season, how do you, like, is that just still being intentional with what you have set out to do until you know differently what the new vision is? Is that what you would recommend?
And I think just sitting in that transition and being okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like life is always a transition, right?
It is. Yes.
It's always a transition. It doesn't always transition the way that we want it to, but we need to be okay with that. With what, wherever we're at, we just need to be okay and sit with it and be okay. Hey, maybe you need to do an outlet through your creative work and just, I don't know, maybe you need to scream about it and be okay with it. Like, I'm mad this isn't working, or I'm frustrated, or whatever it is, and just get it out so that you can just move past it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. And I like that we do have our creative outlets to go to when we need to process things or make things more clear. We can always go back to that and either write it out, sing it out, scream it out, paint it out, whatever.
So, And I think to also just enjoy the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. How have you always enjoyed the process? Like when you owned your other businesses and stuff, like how has that been over the years, and what have you learned as you've grown as a business owner as well?
I haven't always enjoyed the process. I'm learning to always enjoy the process, right? There was a process. I had to shut down one of my businesses, and we saw it coming, did not prepare for it. You know, you kind of think, well, what's really going to happen? Well, it was a lot. And not only was I having to close the business down, our income was dropping drastically, but my mother-in-law was dying. And so my husband was checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing all of this pretty much on my own. It was not an enjoyable moment. But because I had a plan in place with my money at that time, I could let go of all the emotional stuff that was going on and just be like, okay, we're going to be okay. I know what I need to do. Like, I need to just sell everything in this office. I need to get out of it. I need to bring it home. And I'm just going to have to take it on till I can find something better. So because all that stuff was in place, we had, you know, funds saved. We had gotten almost out of debt. I think we had like our solar panels left or something. I was able just to focus on getting rid of that and making sure that I was there to support my husband.
Mm-hmm. Because that's the thing too, it's like you have the best intentions to set it all up and then life throws you a curveball. And so did you really lean into self-care during that season, or was it just a go like kind of mentality? Where did you go to get through it mentally?
Yeah, good question. I think a lot of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of prayer to get through it.
Yeah. So who has supported you? Like, are there books that you find helpful, other voices in the arena that you've learned from that you find, or like what pieces of information have really stuck with you over the years and that you use in your practice now?
Yeah, that's good. So I love Mel Robbins. She wrote the 5-second rule, which has helped me a lot because I don't like getting out of bed, just like she doesn't like getting out of bed. But it just like really helps you with her whole 5-4-3-2-1. If you guys haven't read that or listened to it, it's great. And she's so authentic. She's just very real about her whole process in life, and she's very open about it. What else comes to mind? The profit first. So learning how to do the profit first and having buckets. I don't do with 100 bank accounts he wants you to have. My mind does not work with that. So the concept I implement where you have buckets for this and that, it just goes into 2 different accounts and that's it. Gosh, there's so many other ones. You know, just taking, I have listened to a ton of Zig Ziglar and Jim Rohn, Darren Hardy, listening to a lot of personal development, Tony Robbins, all that stuff, and just taking pieces. And, you know, we can either have life happen to us or have life happen for us. So how can we take the things that are happening and just make it actually work for us?
Yeah.
And taking those, you know, you take those little bits as you go and just apply it as much as you can. I mean, you know, we're people, we're not perfect.
Yeah. If it was so easy just to be going through a really hard season and then, oh, that word of wisdom just totally changed. You know, I think it takes time for it to sink in and for you to process, what does that really mean for my life? Oh, that's what they're saying. Okay. I'm glad I get it now. But...
when is that piece of wisdom going to apply to my life?
Yeah. Get it faster. Yeah. That's awesome. That you...
Right. Because we're not going to always be positive through things, right? Sometimes we just need to, you know, cuss a little bit or say something, you know, that's not positive, and then say, okay, I got to change that thinking. Like, okay, this sucks. This happened. Okay. Now what can I do about it?
Yeah. And I feel like that's the biggest lesson that we can always just continue to go back to. Because like this is what I'm finding on my journey. Like nobody gets out unscathed or like an easy road, even though we might think we see that online or out in the world. It's just like,
they just covered up the scars.
Yes. Yeah. Or
they got the scars.
Telling one side of it or what, you know. And so that's why I like people who are authentic with it. You know, it's like, this happened, but this is what I'm doing now. And that's really hard to show up in that way, I think, because of embarrassment. It's not popular, you know, because a lot of people are like, why are you so negative? And it's like, I think there's that fine line. Why are you negative versus let me just share what I've gone through and how I've come through that, right? Because I think that's part of helping people out is showing that transformation and what that really looks like, because it's not overnight. It's day in, day out, little by little, making better choices and stuff like that. So I appreciate that when people kind of give the down and dirty, not so fun side of things.
And you have to, because, you know, just like entrepreneurship, it's hard. It's a lonely road.
Mm-hmm.
And if people tell you it's easy, they're lying to you.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that's part of just exploration in life, right? We just follow where we're being nudged. We try it out. Does it fit? Does it not? Okay. You know, because even I'm sure on like a money path, you know, some people might be like, you got to do envelopes. So you try it out and like, that doesn't work for me. So what's another, you know? So I think that, what do you want to experimentation, I guess, and to stay after it, just because one thing doesn't work doesn't mean something else won't work. So working with different clients, what are some like budgeting, right? Or knowing where your dollars are going. What have been some creative ways people have made that work for them?
Well, some of it's, you have your basic spreadsheet. Some of it's having different debit cards. So they would do, prepaid cards.
Okay.
They did a prepaid card for a certain category or two categories or all their personal stuff. They load it on there. Whatever they spent it with, it should be food, clothes, personal care, right? That's one way to do it. Some are envelopes. Some are virtual envelopes where you just use an app to move the money. So you can see, you can set your boundaries, right? But also have your freedom because you said, this is what I want to spend in this category, and keep track of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people have colored their envelopes, made them pretty, whatever works, or that they just use paper clips or clips, or you just find out what's going to work for you. What do you like to do? You know, if you don't want to use cash, okay, that's fine. You know, and a lot mm-hmm. of people were in a time where people don't want to use cash, and that's fine. So using the virtual apps so that you can move the money and you can see, okay, well, I said I wanted $100 in eating out. I've already spent 50, and you know where you're at that way. So you can still keep track of what you're doing without having the cash in, you know, 500 mm-hmm. envelopes.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that debit card idea or the prepaid card, because that just kind of puts it into like a visual, I guess.
Yeah. And it's like almost like an envelope, right? You've put the amount you said you wanted to spend in that category on that prepaid card. And now you can spend it freely on those items you said that you wanted it to go to.
Yeah. Do you recommend, do you have any good apps that people find helpful? Like if that is something they want to move into?
Yeah. So I know there's one called Every Dollar. Mint also has its own app, and a big one is a YNAB. YNAB. And I think it's You Need a Budget or something it's called.
Okay.
So, you know, just the best tool is the one that you use.
Yeah.
Right. So finding out what works for you. And that's really, you know, what mm-hmm. you need to do. You know, different couple ones. Do you like it? Do you not? I still use a spreadsheet. I used pencil and paper for a few years, probably 4 or 5 years. And then I moved into a spreadsheet. Now I just use the spreadsheet. I used cash envelopes in a lot of categories, and now I just have it in a few. You know, you can evolve with it too. It's not like you have to do it forever.
And I liked like what you said before, even setting money dates with yourself, because that's where I kind of like, I always have good intention.
Yeah.
To do that. And being single, I feel like I need to pull somebody else into that, even if it's just sitting with another friend and we're doing it together, or, you know, like that accountability.
Totally. Put it on your calendar. Make a date. Make sure you're in a good mood. Make sure you're in a comfortable space. And make sure you have your favorite drink with you. Have a great time. You can see where it's going. Look and see where, okay, this is what I did this week or this month or whatever it is. And I have a little bit extra here, but I can use it for this or whatever it is. Oh, I went over in this category. Okay, I need to be more aware.
Do you recommend doing that monthly or weekly?
I recommend doing it every time you get paid.
Oh, okay.
Because mm-hmm. then you can kind of allocate, you know, okay, what happened last week? What do I have left over? What needs to be paid this week? What bills are coming through? Apps, subscriptions, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah. And as a teacher, I'm always used to the monthly pay. So then when I didn't have that anymore, that was tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I have a few clients that get paid once a month. So it's like, okay, so you know, on that day, everything gets paid.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Which is fine. You just, then you're only looking at it once, right? But once you implement this habit and you're doing it and doing it, you only got to spend 10, 15 minutes a month on it because you've built the muscle up to be more intentional and more intentional and more intentional.
Yeah, that's good. Good reminders to do, just like anything in a business or life, you know, what you give time to will grow and flourish in that way, hopefully. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Is there anything else you want to share with anybody that, you know, might be at a point in their life that, you know, they're ready to look at their money a bit differently and grow in that area? Can you recommend anything else to them?
Yeah, I would say just look at it. Really think about, you know, even if it takes you a week, maybe get away for the weekend and go plan and think and dream and really just get with yourself, your partner. What do you want to do? If you came to the end of your life and you look back and said, that was a freaking good life, what does it look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that idea.
Backwards. And then work backwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that exercise with my clients too, and I love it because it's impactful, because we can just get stuck in the day-to-day mm-hmm. and not look at where we're where we want to end up. And so I like that idea with the money as well. So we're adding that to the piece of it. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. So as we wrap up, if there's people that want to get in touch with you, where do you like to hang out, or how can they reach out to you?
So I'm on almost every social media platform, but I do focus on Instagram at Your Money on Purpose. My website's the same. Email's the same at Gmail. So you can find me anywhere out there.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I hope some people will reach out to you and get that assistance that sometimes we need, that there shouldn't be any shame or embarrassment or guilt around where we are. But that we can just hold it and move forward in a different way, like invest in ourselves in that way.
Yeah.
So absolutely. That we can make better choices. So thank you so much for all that goodness.
Oh, thank you.
And helping out. So thanks.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. It was so much fun talking with you.
Yeah. I can't thank you enough for listening to these podcast episodes and supporting the work that I'm doing here. If you can think of anybody that could benefit from the conversation I just had, please go ahead and forward that to them. If you are on Apple Podcasts, a review would be much appreciated, or a follow on Spotify is how I can continue to get the word out about the work that I'm doing here. If you would like more support and encouragement throughout your week, you can find me on Instagram at A Creative Purpose. And I would also like to drop into your email box with some more insights and encouragement throughout your weeks. And you can do that at naomigeidel.com. Until next time, go serve the world as only you can.